And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the gospel passage for this Rose Sunday, the third Sunday in Advent, where we receive some relief from the penitential season, as we do partway through Lent, we come close to the end of a season of expectation, a great question is asked. And while it seems puzzling to the church that this question is asked by John the Baptist, truly it is actually the question posed perhaps by everyone in the day of Christ. For that matter, it is the question of every figure and nation in the entirety of the Old Testament, history and narrative. Truly, it is the question of most of the world today who are asking the right question. And the question to Jesus is this: Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? If our tiny 4-week Advent season is one in which we endure only the slightest recollection of what it might be like to wait for centuries for the Messiah to come, it is perhaps difficult to sympathize with the weight of the question, are you the Messiah, or shall we keep waiting for generations and generations and centuries again? Hear the question in the mind of the people as recorded in the Gospel according to John, chapter 7, verse 31. Speaking of Jesus, the Gospel says, "And many of the people believed on him and said, 'When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? In other words, if we're going to wait for someone more miraculous, more wonderful, more perfect, more astounding than this Jesus, I'll bet you we'll be waiting for a long, long time.'" The many people who believed asked the question, "Isn't this he that should come? Should we really look for another? I think we're done waiting." Of course, there's a disturbing element to this question when we hear it come from the mouth, supposedly, of John the Baptist, this one who pointed to Christ at Christ's baptism and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him that taketh away the sins of the world." We ask ourselves, is this man beginning to have doubts? Can this be possible? And we'll return to that shortly. But first of all, let's listen to Jesus' response. And Jesus does not answer the question, "Are you the one?" with the answer, "Yes." That would have been very simple. But Jesus is not one to waste opportunities, and so he answers in this way: "Go and show John again those things which ye hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." We might hear this and presume that Jesus is answering much in line with the question of the believers in John 7, who asked, "Will the Messiah do more works than these?" But Jesus isn't only saying, "I've done many miracles." He's saying that the very miracles that I'm doing were prophesied centuries earlier by the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 35, which we've also heard today, "On a day when the excellency of God and the glory of the Lord shall be seen, when the rose of Sharon shall blossom in the desert, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing." Am I the one? I'm more than the one. I am the rose blossoming in the desert. I am the highway leading to the people's return to Zion with everlasting joy on their heads. In me, all they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now, we may be troubled that it seems John the Baptist, after all that he had done to proclaim Christ, now seems to be unsure. And there's a reason that we're troubled by this. First of all, that it's not John the Baptist asking the question ought to cross our minds. It's his disciples whom he sent from caring for him in the prison. And remember that earlier in the gospel, according to St. John, John the Baptist had two disciples who left him to follow Christ immediately at the River Jordan, just after he pointed out Jesus and exclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God." One of those was Andrew, who went and told his brother Simon Peter, and from their ministries, countless numbers of people have come to Christ. John the Baptist was not afraid to lose a couple disciples to Jesus. In fact, you can imagine that the question, "Are you the one?" is not really John the Baptist's question, but the question of his disciples who have never met Jesus. John is in prison. His disciples are hearing all about Jesus, and they keep asking the question until he says, "Go to Jesus in my name and ask him the question yourself. Go and see for yourself. Go and meet him." If you want any clue to the fact that this is the case, see how undisturbed Jesus is at hearing that John the Baptist has asked this question. I think this is sort of like a T-ball thing. John the Baptist has set the ball on the tee, and Jesus winds up and hits the home run. Hear how he speaks of John the Baptist directly afterwards, speaking of him as the one who prepares the way. He knows John, understands. It makes more sense that John the Baptist, whose entire ministry was making straight the way and proclaiming Christ as the Lamb of God, who had no difficulty with believing and was not intimidated by any form of persecution or suffering, that he would be sending his disciples to go and meet this chosen one for themselves. He sends them with a question that pervades the mind of the world, and even some within the church at times. It's a question that lurks in the thievish dark corners of our hearts on our darkest days, even when we have seen miracles in our own lives, even when we have been saved and redeemed, even when we've been brought near to God by his blood. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? When we pray and sense that we're not receiving an answer, art thou he, or do we look for another? When we cry out to the Lord for relief and find we do not receive the relief we cry out for, art thou he, or do we look for another? When we are surrounded by unbelievers in an unbelieving culture and we're tempted just to avoid the conflict and try to fit in, do we look for another? When society begins to say that wrong is right and right is wrong, and the words and the ministry of Jesus with the words and ministry of the church begin to fall out of favor with popular opinion, do we look for another? We're tempted to ask, is it really Jesus, or should we be looking for someone else? Should we be looking for something else? Shouldn't this be easier, following him? Shouldn't I be more blessed? At this moment, Jesus offers us a beatitude, well outside of his Sermon on the Mount with the famous Beatitudes. And Jesus answers the question saying, "Yes, I am he. You should not wait nor look for another. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Do you hear that word? Offended. The Greek word is familiar, skandalizo, scandalized. In 2022, we know all about being offended. Being offended is now the modern birthright of our humanity and our culture. In our age, we're not so sure about miracles for some reason, but we will all know about being blessed, and we will know about being offended. If ever a person loses any sense of who they are in this world and what purpose anything has, they are taught, even in school, to find identity and purpose and community by discovering that which it is they are offended by, and to join a group of outraged people. I know I'm a good person because I am offended by, fill in the blank. I know I'm on the right side of history because I am offended personally by, fill in the blank. And I know that my actions are justified and excused because I have been deeply, deeply offended. Every news station is peddling this, peddling outrage, so that you can try on the different outrages, the different offenses, and see which outrage fits you best. What a relief it is to be offended. It means I stand for something, and there's a part of me that perhaps will not move. Perhaps I've found the rock. Perhaps this is the cornerstone. Being offended is the means by which modern people discern who they are in this world, how to behave, whom to associate with. It is how a confused person knows that they're real and it's worth sacrificing for. Heading out into the streets, I am offended, therefore I am. But Jesus says something very different. He says something offensive. Jesus says to all generations confused about their identity as humans in this world who want to know what the pursuit of a blessed life looks like, I sympathize with your search. It is for you a great long season of Advent in your souls, and you are not sure who to be looking for. And so you have looked to yourselves, asking the mirror, are you the one? But the answer is not as varied and diverse as the creatures. It is specific as the Creator. The answer is specific and scandalizing and an offense. Jesus says, I am the one you wait for. I am God and there is no other. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the door. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the Messiah. None shall come to the Father but by me. Now that's offensive these days. And if you believe in me, you will be persecuted. You will not be offended. You will be an offense to the world, and they will hate you. But a blessed life is not to be offended. A blessed life looks like this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And blessed are you when men revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. In other words, blessed are you not when you are outraged at the world, but when you are an outrage to others because of Christ. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Are you the one? Should we look for another? Jesus says, I am. Blessed are you who follow me, who worship me, who believe in me, who rest in me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.